hands and say, I believe it. Come on, say the blood still works. The blood is going to do a great work in this place today. If you wouldn't mind standing on your feet as our custom is, and turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 33, beginning at verse 23. Job chapter 33, beginning with verse 23. That's wonderful. She should. Have you ever read the Bible and came across a scripture that you probably read 100 times and it never clicked? That happened to me recently. I said, how did I miss this one? But the Lord saved it for tonight, today. There's a word for every one of us today. Job chapter 33 and beginning with verse 23. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness concerning that person, then he is gracious unto him and saith, this is the kicker here, deliver him from going down to the pit. Why? The next phrase, I have found a ransom. I want to preach to you this morning on the price has been paid. The price has been paid for somebody here today. Somebody that's been living in bondage needs to realize they no longer have to live in bondage. Someone who has been living in shame needs to realize, according to this word, no longer has to live in shame. Somebody here this morning, oh God, has been living in condemnation, but the word of the Lord is going to speak and say, no longer do you have to live in condemnation. And the last thing, there might be someone here this morning that have been living their life in guilt. I tell you today, by the authority of the word of God, you no longer have to live in guilt anymore, because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So in this house, we expect nothing less than your delivering power. In this service, we expect nothing less than miracles, signs, and wonders. In this house, we expect nothing less for someone, oh God, to be restored. Somebody help me pray right now the prayer of faith and say, God, in this house today, there is going to be a mighty work of the hand of God, because when the blood of Jesus moves upon us, there is nothing that we have to be shackled by. When the blood of Jesus touches something, it is made free, and there will be freedom in the house of the Lord this morning. There will be deliverance in the house of the Lord today. Clap your hands in this house right now and shout hallelujah. Come on, clap your hands and shout it again. Come on, let's let the atmosphere be ready for God to do some mighty things upon every heart in this house. Praise God. You may be seated here in the house of the Lord. Please allow me to take a little time to build a foundation. Is that all right? The message of the cross is not new, but the application of the cross is what needs to be preached. You may not have heard it in that context before, so I must repeat it. The message of the cross is not new, but the application of the cross is what needs to be preached and understood. I say this because it's not that any of us need to be reminded again that it began with one of his closest followers that gave him a betrayal kiss while he was praying in the garden. You don't need to be reminded that he and they drummed up false witnesses to accuse him. And then they spit upon him and they mocked him and they slapped him in the face to deliberately show signs of disrespect and dishonor. It is not that you need to be reminded again that when they had the opportunity to choose between Jesus, the one that loved and cared and touched for lives, and between the one, Barabbas, who was a murderer, they chose Barabbas to be released and set free. Signifying this, that the innocent would take the place of the guilty. It is not that you need to be reminded again that they pressed a crown of thorns on his head, in which went into his temples and stung so deeply with agonizing pain it is too difficult to describe. Those brutal Roman soldiers beat him until he was barely even recognizable. No, we don't need that reminder. We don't need a reminder that 9-inch square iron nails went through the area of his hands and his feet in complete excruciating pain, truly having to support his own weight. And we truly don't need to be reminded that everything that took inside of him just to catch a breath. No, we don't need to be reminded about that. In fact, sometimes we can regrettably tune that out, and almost in Christianity and in our churches become immune to it. Understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's not important or that we shouldn't ever talk about it. What I am saying is, I pray for myself and I pray for you that we never want to hear about what he did on the cross and then we are no longer moved by it or we are desensitized to it about what he went through. I don't ever want to be reminded and hear about it and then it becomes just another story that is told in the Christian faith. But every time I hear about the man named Christ Jesus and how he went and he chose to go on a cross and suffered, bled, and died, I pray every time I hear it, I would never tune it out, but something would rise inside of my soul and say, thank you, Lord. God forbid we would hear that story and brush it aside and pass notes or be on our phone and something not move us. Something is wrong with me if I hear about what he did for me and I give a little yawn or I go out into space somewhere. God forbid that ever happens. But every time I hear about my Savior going to a cross, that something well up inside of me and say and cry out, thank you, Lord. I won't be desensitized by the message of the cross. If I'm going to be reminded of it, let it so awaken me. Let me explain. The crucifixion is the what. We don't need only a reminder of the what. We need a reminder of the why. I can say I believe he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, but do I understand the why he did it? I overheard a preacher say the other day that you can be saved in your soul and yet not be saved in your spirit. I thought about that statement and realized it's absolutely true in so many ways in believers' lives today. We have been saved. Someone say amen. We've had our sins washed away. Someone say amen. And we are certainly on our way to heaven. I thank God for that. And of course, we're grateful for that in that sense. But the other side is that we still live, even after we've been saved, with so much baggage. We still lived in the place of salvation with so much extra stuff also to be dealt with when we were saved. So many believers struggle with guilt. So many believers struggle with their faith because of the fear they have in their present reality. So many believers even here today struggle with depression and oppression. Many believers wrestle with insecurities and doubts about themselves being able to live above negative thinking and circumstances. Simply unable to walk clean and upright on a consistent basis. The reality is we have not been able to transfer what has happened in our soul through the power of the cross to our spirits and our mindset and our everyday life. And that is why so many have committed themselves, have a hard time committing themselves wholeheartedly to the cause of Christ, because we say, yeah, I have been born again. I believe that he did and he died on the cross, but currently there is a constant battle in my mind of, am I really free? Can I really be an overcomer? Can I really grow in my walk with God? Can I really be healed of this sickness and disease in my body? Can I really walk in the anointing and the covering and the calling that comes in my life, that I know deep down in my soul there's something has happened to me on the inside that I'm trying to get on the outside? Can I operate on a daily level of authority and faith and feel God the same way I feel him when I get in touch with him in a prayer meeting? Can I truly be continually strong? Can I do exploits? Can I see my faith truly soar? Many of us ask the question, I'm saved, but can I really be free from these spirits that try to hold me down? Can I really be a man or woman after God's own heart? Can I really see my prayers move mountains? Have you ever said, I just want my prayers to move mountains according to what Jesus said? Sometimes I rise up and I simply shout out, these mountains must be removed. Can I really see myself be a light in a dark world? Can I really overcome sin and tell others that they can as well through the power of the name of Jesus? I tell you, yes, and that is the why he went to a cross. 1 John 3:8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. But for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Let me explain the works of the devil through pointing out some things that are found in the Old Testament. Don't lose your attention span. We're going somewhere here this morning. Where does all of this come from? How can I be saved and yet feel trapped all in the same sentence? I'm going to help somebody today. The Holy Ghost is going to help somebody today. How can I be saved but have so many mental struggles and battles that are going on in my mind? How can there be so many issues in my life, my health, my kids, my faith, my family? And I'm going to explain it to you. But what I need to make sure is clear today is that I want you to leave the service not only with the reminder of what God has done for us, but to recognize that because of what he did, things we battle is the why he did what
He did. I want someone to walk out of this place with a better grasp of the why. And when you truly begin to understand the why, you before you leave this place, there are going to be men and women that are going to rise up out of your pit and no longer allow nor tolerate the voice of the enemy that's in your head. You are going to leave this place and say, devil, I mute you in the name of Jesus, because I understand the why of the what that he did. And because I understand the why of what he did, you can't come in my life the same way you used to. Because what Jesus did is blocked you from being able to have true access to my spirit anymore. I feel the Holy Ghost. Someone need to raise up and understand, when you get a revelation of not only the what, but the why, you will not walk in darkness any longer. You will not walk in doubt any longer. But you got to get the why first. The why is to destroy every work of the devil that's attacking your life. Stop thinking you have no power. Stop thinking you have to be in that place. You got to be depressed and oppressed. The devil's a liar. The why is, I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to be oppressed. I don't have to be sick in my body. Yeah, the enemy is going to be exposed once again. How? The word of the Lord is going to take us higher in our understanding. We as Christians and disciples cannot be ignorant of his devices. Ignorance, some say, is bliss. But ignorance will keep you where you are. Ignorance will keep that frown on your face. Ignorance will keep you in that closet. Ignorance will cause you to fold your hands and stick out your lip and say, woe is me. But when the revelation of the word of God comes in and you say, I see a light, I will raise my hands because I'm free, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. I don't walk the way I used to walk. I don't talk the way I used to talk. I don't think the way I used to think, because I understand a why. And when I get a revelation of the why, oh, you can't do nothing with me. The wicked, one that is seeking to discourage you. You're discouraged? That comes from him. You feel defeated? That comes from him. And ultimately, he comes to destroy you. Not today. So let me start off by saying the devil knew exactly what God had said to Adam, speaking to humanity, about eating the fruit and dying, which is literally being separated from God. The enemy had a hunch about what would happen to humanity if they disobeyed God in the garden. He knew from his own experience, follow me, sin cannot dwell in the presence of God. Satan was beheld cast out of heaven as of lightning, because sin could not dwell in the presence of God. He knows God will not tolerate sin. And we see Satan was correct. God doesn't tolerate sin. God Almighty, the Father of all creation, and of Adam and Eve, literally, stay with me, kicked humanity out of the place of paradise. From that point on, humanity was no longer connected to him, but were separated from his perfect plan and will because of sin. Make no mistake about it. Sin will always be what separates us from the presence of Almighty God. Sin, no matter how much you would try to sugarcoat it and say culture does it, and everyone around me does it, and society does it, sin will always be a separating factor, because the fact is God cannot, sin cannot be in the presence of God. Stay with me. Genesis 3:24. So he drove out the man. He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. The devil came in and worked the plan to separate us from the presence of God. The protection of God and the relationship that we had with God was severed. The devil had an understanding that if he can get us to fall just one time. Hear me. The devil said, if I can get them to fall one time, they will be out of the intended plan and step into a place where I now can torment them. I will torment them because truly I am already tormented myself. I'm going to take what's happening in me and I'm going to infuse it on them. I was cast out of heaven. Well, I want them to be cast out of the garden. And when I get them out of God's presence, I will get them in that place. Now stay with me here. I will keep them in guilt. I will make them feel from this point on they are unable to be pleasing to God. I will shake their faith in God to put their eyes on themselves and lose their faith, which makes it impossible for them to be able to please God. So look at what he did to Cain. I told him, look how God has favored your brother over you. Look how you are never going to be able to please God or outdo your brother. Instead of trying to compete against someone you will never beat, just kill him and just get rid of the competition. Then you can be accepted before God, because now he won't be comparing your worship to someone else's. He will then be forced to accept your offering. Think about it, church. What would make Cain want to kill Abel when Abel had nothing to do with what was going on between him and God? Abel wasn't in the conversation concerning God and Cain. Abel had zero to do with it. Is it fair to say then that Satan was at work and Cain allowed him to whisper in his ear a solution to his problem that ended up taking him further away from God? See, what's happening in many of our lives, issues are going on in our relationship with God, and we begin to point our finger at the environment around us. We begin to point our fingers about the situations about us, and the devil's telling you, you must deal with these things first, and then God will be able to accept you. I know what I'm talking about. And therefore we find, and that we never maybe heard it before, but Cain did want to please God. Why else would he kill his brother if he didn't want to please God? I know that sounds kind of crazy. He's got to stay with me. Why would he kill his brother if he didn't want to please God? Why would he even care about what Abel was doing if he had no desire to please God? Because he wanted to please God, somebody he felt was in his way. He had a desire to please God, but he was listening to the wrong voices. And Satan influenced Cain's heart, a lie. It comes from Satan's weak, limited mindset. I have to put someone else down in order to lift myself up. I have to focus on someone else rather than where I am myself. It is one of the oldest tricks of the enemy to get your eye off what we need to do and to focus and shift the blame on someone else. But we see Cain ended up in a worse position because the devil loves to speak lies to us, and they will always put you in a worse position. Guilt will take us to places we never intended to go. He had to be separated from his family and go off by himself. Let's be honest. There are times where he has enslaved our thinking, trapped us in guilt. He says, I am the prince of the power of the air. That means I love to move and whisper things into the ears of those fallen men and women and continue to bring accusation against them. They will continue to feel weak and not empowered because of their guilt. They will continue to live like Cain, and guilt will lead them to do things they would never thought they would do, that will lead them into places of isolation. That is the reality of what was going on inside Cain, and it is the reality of what's going on inside of us. Like Cain, Satan has been successful in kidnapping our thoughts, kidnapping our confidence, kidnapping our ability to see the warnings that God has given to us. The Lord said, if you do well, won't you be accepted? But why was that word ignored? Because there was a kidnapping of the truth of God's word and God's plan. And therefore, when someone is kidnapped, there is usually a ransom that needs to be paid. And the enemy has kidnapped us in so many ways. And there is no doubt we need it to be ransomed. And David describes perfectly even a rich man's total inability to pay the ransom for somebody else. The Bible says in Psalm 49:8, for the redemption of their soul is precious and ceaseth forever. It ceaseth forever means that is the ransom fails. The price is too costly or too precious. We cannot pay the ransom ourselves for the kidnapping of the devil in our minds. We all have shown we do not have the power. We all have shown we feel so unworthy. I feel unworthy because when I want to do good, evil is present with me. Paul said it so well. For that which I do not allow, that which I would, that is the thing that I do. But what I hate, that is what I do. Can anyone agree with Paul? You want to do right. You want to be right. You want to walk with the Lord. But it seemed like what you hate and what you don't want to do, you find yourself doing it. It says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I can't find it. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that's what I do. For if I do that I would not, it is no more than I do, but it's a sin that dwells in me. I then find a law that is, when I want to do good, evil is present with me. And because I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And this is the only part the majority of us focus on. We feel we are wretched. We feel we are stuck. We feel that there's a price we still have to pay. We feel we have to pay for our shortcomings, pay for our flaws, pay for our inconsistencies, pay for all of our failures. And as soon as we really start walking all the way right, then we believe I can have my breakthrough. As soon as I do everything correct, then I can pray for a breakthrough. But our prophetic word is given in the middle of a tragedy of the first written book of the Bible. This verse is written to a man that lost everything and everyone around him forsake him. And this was he had no Bible. The book of Job is the first written word of God. And so he had nothing for him to have to be pointed to. But what I do find in the scripture, with all that being said, the Bible says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. The state that we we are in is going down to a devil's pit of despair, like we are like Cain, going down to death, down to nothing, down to the abyss. But something was found. He said, I have found a ransom. We have a lot of things about us that's not right, but when we get a picture of what Jesus has done for us, we can say, I can get up again. I have found a ransom. The Bible says in Luke 13:11, we see a picture here. It described in the New Testament. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. What we see in her physical condition is what we have in most of our spiritual conditions. We're bowed down. We're broken. We're tired of life. We're tired of all the frustrations that come our way. We're tired of all the ridicule. But with all the things that go on in our life, in our marriage, in our health, we just feel like I can't go any higher. I'm always stuck in this position. I'm always stuck feeling sorry for myself. I'm always stuck with this carrying the burden. I feel like the weight all over me. I can't in no wise lift myself up. I take a step and I go 3 steps back. I got faith in this one area and this other area is destroyed. I feel God's giving me momentum and then something goes wrong. And I just feel like I'm bowed and I'm bowed down year after year. I just can't get past this thing. I can't get past this heaviness. I can't get past this worry. I can't get past this fear. I can't get past this doubt. I want to lift up myself. I want to be positive. I want to believe in a healing and a miracle for my life. I want to just shake myself from this dark cloud around me. I just want to get up out of this place. But for 18 years, I've tried it. But in no wise can I live myself up. I want to believe in that deliverance. I don't want to struggle with this thing over and over again. I don't want to be a liar. I don't want to be a cheater. I don't want to be addicted by this pornography. I don't want to be someone that's a hypocrite, that I live one way on Sunday, but then the week I can't find a way to a prayer room. I can't read my word. I cuss my family out and I have a bad attitude, and I want to do better. I want to be more consistent in the house of God. I want to serve, but I got this ailing issue in my body. I got this sin. I got this weight. I can't even lift myself up. I barely can put my eyes up. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just surviving. Some things need to change, but I really see now I can't change them. Some things need to be different, but I realize I can't in no wise lift myself. I want to be free. And I'm guilty. I feel like I deserve it. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. And he said, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And she was no longer bound anymore. You see, let me tell you something. Jesus understood the power that was in his hands. That in the area, every area and every struggle you got, and in every area you can't live up your own head, Jesus right now is calling somebody and say, I have found and paid the ransom for you. And how long you felt you had to stay stuck in that place, and how long you felt you had to stay in that position. No, it's time to get up and square your shoulders and say, I don't know what's going on, but I know I'm standing up today. Why? I have found a ransom. No longer am I bowed down. I'm up now, and I look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately at that moment, she became straight. And what did she do? She glorified God. See, when you really understand the why, you will glorify the name of Jesus, because he has the power to lift you up. Now, watch the next thing he says. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? Satan is the one who binds. But you know what she said? I found a ransom. Yes, he bound me. But when Jesus comes down my aisle, when Jesus comes down my territory, he's saying, I'm giving someone revelation. You don't have to be in the condition you've been in for such a long time. Have you found a ransom? Let me tell you right now, Jesus is your way out. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And though Satan is trying to bind you, Jesus says, I have power over Satan. What am I saying? Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're struggling with, whatever is keeping your head down, understand Jesus is the one that paid the price. And you got to say out of your own mouth, I'm free. I have found a ransom. I am not bogged down. Jesus' authority and Jesus' power says, I am healed by his stripes. Jesus' power and authority said, the blood shall wash away all of my sins. When I speak of being bound, hear me. It speaks of things that hold on and attach themselves to us that were not originally given to us from God. She bowed herself. That is the heaviness that was upon her. Depression that was upon her, fear that was upon her, sicknesses that were upon her, and the weight of the world was upon her. Some of you feel the weight of the world in your circumstance right now. You got the weight of the world upon you. You can't get out of what you're in right now. You're bowed down. But Jesus shows his power and what he's able to do, because he was the fulfillment of a prophetic word that happened way back in the book of Job, chapter 33 and 23. The nature of a ransom. A ransom is the price paid to free someone from captivity, to remove a penalty of condemnation, to restore a previous condition. It's an economic term, and it describes the price paid to buy back something from another. It's closely related to redemption, which is the action of buying back something from another. With all that is said there, the prophetic word that is given in the oldest book of the Bible, and for somebody to understand, the pit is a place of darkness, a place of feeling stuck, a place of hopelessness. But I want to tell somebody, no more. We have found a ransom. No more am I staying in that pit of depression. No more am I staying in my former addiction. No more am I claiming this sickness. Come on, somebody. No more. I have found a ransom. There was a little boy visiting his grandparents on their farm. He was given a slingshot to play with out in the woods. He practiced in those woods, but he could never hit his target. And so he got a little bit discouraged. He headed back for dinner. And as he was walking back, he saw grandma's pet duck. And just out of impulse, like a child would do, he slingshot and he let it fly, and he hit the duck square in the head, and he killed his grandmother's duck. He was shocked, and he was grieved, and he was afraid. And so in panic, he hid his dead body in the wood pile, only to see his sister was watching all of the action. Sally had seen the entire scene, But she said nothing. After lunch the next day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes together." But Sally said, "Grandma, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen." Then she whispered to him, "Remember the duck?" So Johnny did the dishes. Later that day, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing. And Grandma said, "I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make today's supper." Sally just smiled and said, "Well, that's all right, because Johnny told me he wanted to help." She whispered again, "Remember the duck?" So Sally went fishing, and Johnny stayed behind to help his grandmother. After several days of Johnny doing both his own chores and his sister Sally's chores, he finally could not stand it any longer. He came to his grandma and confessed that he had certainly killed the duck. And Grandma knelt down, gave him a hug, and said, "Sweetheart, I know. You see, I was standing at the window and saw the whole thing as well. But because I love you, I had already forgiven you. I was just wondering, how long are you going to allow Sally to make a slave out of you? Can I tell somebody? Stop allowing the devil to make a slave out of you. Stop allowing the devil to whisper things in your ear and to cause you to do his bidding and to feel like you cannot walk with God. I tell you today, God has washed you. I tell you that God has cleansed you. I tell you, we have found a ransom." Someone lift your hands right now to God. Someone recognize that you got to look at your enemy and say, "No more. No more are you going to accuse me. No more are you going to make me a slave. I'm not what I used to be. The blood of Jesus, I have found a ransom." I found something that comes to destroy the works of the devil. I found something that even though I know what dark stage I was in, I found the blood of Jesus has miraculous power, and I refuse to allow the blood of Jesus to be in vain. I refuse to allow the blood of Jesus to become worthless in my life. I found a ransom. Is there anybody here tired of the devil? Is there anybody here tired of being lied to? Is anybody tired of the whispers? Are there some overcomers here in this place and say, "I shall live. I shall not die. I have been cleaned by the blood of the Lamb." Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Someone testify of his goodness. Someone testify of his grace. If you've been washed, if you've been cleansed, then you should raise your hand and say, "Thank you for the blood of Jesus. What shall wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Jesus. What am I saying? Some of you come out of your pit of shame. What am I saying? Come out of your pit of depression. What am I saying? Come out of your pit of self-worthlessness. Stop saying it is what it is. Say, "No, I found a ransom. I'm more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ." I want you to stand on your feet, and I want you to lift up your head. Lift up your head. Lift up your head for your marriage. Lift up your head for your finances. Lift up your head for your sickness in your body. Lift up your head for what you need God to do in your life. What miracle you need. Get your head off the ground and get your eyes on the Lord, because he's paid the price for you. Come on, stop thinking you have to suffer because of your past. Stop thinking you have to suffer because of the mistakes you made before. The Lord made a way for us to have a new path. Why don't you leave Satan behind? Leave it behind. Leave it behind and grab a hold of the why. What God of you? He did it so you don't have to live in that place anymore. Come on, the Spirit is working. The Spirit is cleansing somebody right now. The Spirit restoring somebody's faith right now. Someone's getting bold as a comma and say, I've been washed by the blood of Jesus. Satan, get out of my territory. Get out of my ear. I'm not depressed no more. I got the joy of the Lord in my soul. I have found a ransom. An event occurred under Cyrus the Persian. The southern border of Persian Empire had a rebellious tribe under a great chieftain named Cagular, which together had defeated all attempts by military detachments to subdue him. He would not be defeated. But finally, the emperor amassed a very large army, marched to the southern extreme of his empire, surrounded Cagular and captured him, and brought him to the capital for execution. On the day of his trial, he and his family were brought before the judgment seat of Cyrus. Cyrus was there, and he saw Cagular, a large and perfect man, with noble and intelligent manner about himself. He was a magnificent person to behold. So Cyrus, so impressed sufficiently to consider in himself how he might spare his enemy's life. So Cyrus asked Cagular, what would you do should I spare your life? Cagular responded, Your Majesty, if you spared my life, I would return to my home and remain your obedient servant as long as I lived. So then Cyrus asked him, well, what would you do if I spared the life of your wife? Cagular responded, Your Majesty, if you spared the life of my wife, I would die for you. Cyrus was so moved by the exchange that he freed them both and returned Cagular to his home province to assume the role of governor there, arriving home to much meaner surroundings than Persepolis, which was the capital where Cyrus was. Cagular reminisced about the trip with his wife. He said, Did you notice the marble at the entrance of the palaces? Did you notice the tapestry in the wall as we went down to the corridor in the throne room? Did you see the chair in which the emperor sat? It must have been carved from one lump of pure gold. His wife could appreciate his excitement and how impressed he was with it all, but she only replied, You know, I really didn't notice any of that. Well, Cagular said in amazement, What did you see then? His wife looked seriously into his eyes and said, I behold only the face of the man who said he would die for me. You know what our eyes need to be on? Not on the one who said he would die for us, but on the one who did die for us. Lift your hands one more time to him. If he did die for us, then what is the why? The why is that you would not have to be in the place you're in right now. The why is that you could be free from all the heaviness in your spirit, all the worry, the concern you have. That is the why. So look to Jesus, the one who died for you. And you can say with boldness, I have found a ransom. I have found grace today. All my fears and all my guilt and all my shame, I can lay it down at the one who died for me. If I'm sick in my body, then the why today for me, that I can declare by your stripes, I know I'm healed. The why for somebody today, aren't you tired of your depression? Are you tired of your oppression? I tell you, get your eyes on Jesus right now. Somebody begin to call the name of Jesus right now. Someone say, I'm no longer in guilt anymore. I'm free today. I'm set free by the blood of the Lamb. I accept the wine today. God can meet all of my needs. God can meet all my problems. God can make a way. It's the why. And no longer Satan bind me anymore.